Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today. Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List, you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
You know, we have zero interest in trading the player.
Spinning the quarterback carousel looked like this was spinning and spinning and going fast, and now it seems pretty stuck right now.
Sports Radio 610 presents former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner. And Ron the Show Hughley. It's Clint Sterner and the show.
You're damn right it is. And Ian Rapoport, he's trying to give Houston good news. He is trying to give you all the news you want to hear. Here is Ian Rapoport discussing what's happening, the quarterback situation around the NFL.
Yeah, spinning the quarterback carousel is something we're going to be doing basically every day from now until probably the draft, at least. And, you know, Andrew, trying to figure out who the next quarterback is going to be traded. Really, the better question is a quarterback going to be traded anytime soon? It looked like this was spinning and spinning and going fast. And now it seems, from talking to the teams involved, the teams who still need a quarterback, and some of the teams who may end up trading a quarterback, everyone seems pretty stuck right now. And here are the reasons why. When teams have called the Houston Texans on Deshaun Watson about trading, and not just trading for Watson, trading for anyone, what they've been told essentially is no on Watson, but could talk about potentially a lot of other players, but no on Watson.
That has to be spun in good news. This is good news for Houston. That's like,
so
Larry,
you're telling me there's a chance,
right? That's like Larry and Stafford, who was holding on, whose team, Pep Hamilton. You keep going, Larry. Guys like that. Many people, I'm sure, texting and listening. This is good news that don't want Deshaun to be traded, because Ian Rapoport saying they're stuck. It's about to stop, and the longer this goes on, yeah, it's better for Texans fans who don't want Deshaun traded,
well,
right?
I mean, if you want to lie to yourself, I mean, if you need
no, come on, Clint.
If you need that kind of BS in your life to make you feel better about the quarterback situation with the Houston Texans, then so be it. I mean, that's fine. I mean, ultimately, we know that this thing's going to run up to April 29. I mean, it makes zero sense for there to be movement at this point unless it's one of those predetermined moves like you saw in Detroit, where before the head coach was hired, before Dan Campbell was hired, Matthew Stafford said, hey, the organization already agreed to move him. Or you got a quarterback controversy, a dysfunction, dysfunctional organization in Philly that just needs to move on from a player that they want to get rid of. Then it's probably going, if it's not one of those types of situations, it's probably going to push up to the April 29 mark, where the NFL draft takes place, first round of the NFL draft on the 29th. And I would imagine that that's when things will really, really hot up, heating up. I can't even get it out. Will definitely heat up in Houston around Deshaun Watson. I couldn't see anything happening before that in terms of movement. Now, I would like to hear some leaks and some conversations, but I wouldn't expect anything to happen until April 28, 29.
As you say, there is no reason to move it. We're talking about Ian Rapoport said that it is a standstill right now. Doesn't expect to be a lot of quarterback moving soon. Now, you feel different. You said you feel like the Texans need to get up on this charge quick. Like they need to try to make some moves right now. Do you agree with that point, though? The longer this goes on, for folks who are in the camp of Deshaun, don't trade him. Not going to trade Deshaun. The longer this stretches out, that bodes well for that?
No. I don't think it changes. I don't think it changes the.
I tried.
I know you're trying. I don't think it changes the situation for Deshaun Watson at all. The longer this thing draws out, I mean, I think they're going to play their cards tight to their chest. They're going to create as much competition as they can. They're going to appear publicly to not want to trade or not be interested to trade or not taking calls about Deshaun Watson. And I think Deshaun Watson is a big enough draw to where if the Texans so choose to tell teams that they're talking to not people word of what's being discussed, I think they would probably, the other organizations would probably keep quiet at this point as well. So, you know, yeah, I don't, I'm, again, if people want to get hung up on the day, every day that goes by and Deshaun Watson still a Houston Texan, that's fine, to each their own. I can't tell you how to fan, but I don't think it means one thing towards Deshaun Watson or the status of Deshaun Watson in Houston that we'll have a few quiet days here.
No, I hear that. As we're here, Clint Sterner in the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. As Ian Rapoport would report today that the quarterback carousel is stuck, no movement happening right now, and it is, he's continued to report what others have reported, that that the Texans with Nick Caserio, Jack Easterby, they're saying no on trades of Deshaun. Yep. When you hear that, when you hear this being consistent, Clint, do you think we've reached a point where maybe Deshaun Watson and his camp, his agent David Mulugeta, and the people that are making decisions, have we reached a point where maybe they need to change their approach? Should they get more direct, maybe use themselves instead of leaks to reporters? Should they change the element of how they're handling this situation? Because it seems like the Texans are pretty.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. I think the Texans, in that regard, I think the Texans, again, hold the power. I think the Texans, it can very easily get the message to Deshaun Watson and his representation of, hey, man, we're going to paint this picture as if we're not going to trade you at all. We need y'all to play along so that we can get the competition, we can get the negotiation, we can get more teams involved, and we can get the most that we can for Deshaun Watson. And so, no, I don't think it's in the best interest of Deshaun Watson or in the best interest of the Houston Texans for Deshaun and his representation to all of a sudden become vocal about the current situation at this point in time. You gotta sit steady and let the organization at this point. Again, we're 2 months.
Yeah.
We're 2 months from the draft.
The draft is the deadline.
Yeah, we're 2 months from D-Day, man. I mean, there's still a lot of time for the Texans to make mistakes. There's still a lot of time for the Texans to pursue certain franchises and pursue the package that they would consider for Deshaun Watson. This is a time for Deshaun and his crew to do exactly what they're doing, lay in the weeds, chill out, go drive Ferraris and Lamborghinis up and down the East Coast and hang out in Georgia and raise money for kiddos and the less fortunate families of the world. You just keep doing what you're doing and let the Texans steer this ship at this moment.
Because, see, Clint, and I've seen it on the text line of, yeah, I want to hear from him. We need to hear from him.
Well, I do too.
Yeah, we all want to hear from him.
Yeah, I want to hear from him too. Our show wants to hear from him.
But I do think, Clint, there potentially will be a time where they may have to get more forceful or more direct, in my opinion, because if the Texans are going to just continue with this, I'm closing my ears, I'm not hearing anything, I'm not taking anything, we've unplugged all the phones that say we want to make an offer for Deshaun, and if they are getting more serious about like, oh, we're not gonna make a move, we'll test you, I think maybe Deshaun and his camp may need to turn up the heat and to turn up the heat to be more forceful. I'm not saying we've reached it. I'm not saying we've reached that point yet. The end game, I would say, is, well, we may need to change course to do something different, because if the Texans just say, well, we're just going to sit here and do this, we're going to call your bluff, maybe Deshaun and his camp may think that we need to push the envelope a little bit more.
Well, I think the days of calling the bluff are behind us. I mean, to me, in my opinion, especially with players this caliber right here, I mean, it's one of them deals where if we're talking specifically about Deshaun Watson and his camp and whether they change course or not, what is change course? What do they do? Do they get vocal about what's going on in the organization? You're never going to win that battle, right? Do you make an official statement about wanting out of Houston? What does that change? I mean, obviously the Texans front office knows whatever that statement would consist of. The Texans front office knows that. Is it just making that public? Coming from the source, a known source, the representation of Deshaun or Deshaun himself? And if so, what does that do? What's the end game? I mean, do you think that's going to push Cal McNair and Jack Easterby to finally make a move if it's made public when you've been telling that all along behind closed doors for 2 or 3 months? I think that the end game, if there's something in mind for Deshaun and his representation, then I'm here for it. I think they should speak up. I just don't see anything that they could say that would change the circumstances around his situation right now.
Yeah. Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. News from the Astros, Clint. Alex Bregman, their all-star third baseman, has a slight tweak in his hamstring and isn't working out with the major league team early in spring. Of course, Abraham Toro, one of Dusty's favorites, has been getting most of the grounders at third base for the Astros. This is something similar that Bregman went through last year in camp and during the season, a bit of a hamstring issue. This is one, because I do think he's going to have a big year. I think I see him having a really big year. This is one where you want to be real careful with this thing and not try to rush back, even as much as Alex Bregman may want to. This slight hamstring tweak, they need to get knocked out right now.
Yeah, it would be silly at this point in spring training to even push that, right? I mean, he can get in the cage and swing the stick, and that's all he needs to do 2 to 3 to 4 times a day, however many hours a hitting session is, with however many hitting coaches he works with on a daily basis. He needs to get that in. But outside of that, you know, there doesn't need to be any strain whatsoever put on that hamstring. And the last thing you want to do in spring training, where they've been in spring training a week.
Yeah,
I mean the last thing you want to the last thing you want to do, like in the initial reporting phase of spring training, is have a hamstring and aggravate it throughout spring training, and then start the season with a limp. You know, that doesn't make sense. It would be silly for him, Dusty Baker, or anybody in the Astros organization to not address this, lay low, and just do everything you can to be 100% nose to toes opening day.
Yeah. All right, that's the latest with Alex Bregman. They're going to take it slow, as they should. Coming up, another article out on you know who, Mr. Jack Easterby. And this one was in-depth and deep. We'll give you our thoughts on it, and it might catch you off guard. That's next.
And my prayer is that you'll really listen to me.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
And another one, Clint, came out. Another article reported, written about you know who, Jack Easterby, Jack Easterby's leap of faith, Slick Jack.
Can I get an amen?
That's right. Written this time, written by David Roth of The Defector. You can check it out. I've retweeted it. John Lopez, the OG, retweeted it. And it was very, very in-depth.
But was Clint, it? Was it, though?
I'll
tell you what it was tough as hell for old Baytown Hayseed to read. I know that much.
It was in-depth. Had some real... $15 to $20 words in it.
A bunch of them.
a bunch of them.
Like he was trying to show off. He was trying to show off how smart he was, how big his vocabulary was.
His big word hog.
And he lost my ass about three times per paragraph.
That's all right.
Luckily, it wasn't
very long. But you caught it, though.
I went back and reread every paragraph and tried to follow what the hell was going on. Yeah.
And you pulled it off. But he wrote another one, and Clint, I
guess
just
I could have done like you and just started midway through the damn thing.
Yeah, I started looking at stuff that made
to hell with
sense
the first four paragraphs. Yeah, I'm just going to start.
I'm going to just start at what looked right to me. But I just reading it and looking at it, I'm like, all right, I need to read this. But I don't know about you, Clint, man. I am over the reports and the articles concerned to Jack Easterby, like reports from reporters. Now, if Deshaun or JJ want to come out and Jamie Roots want to come out and hit us with a tell-all, hey, I'm front and center because that's right from the horse's mouth. But just it seems like everyone's now hunting and reporting, several from SI. We've heard some from ESPN, and we're hearing this one. Like, I don't know about you, man. I'm past the Jack Easterby reports.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely past these types of articles. I mean, this was an article that you know drew the comparison to Game of Thrones again and used some of the SI information. And really it didn't tell you a whole lot new, really anything new about Jack Easterby. It just was a very extensive, explanation of Jack Easterby's rise to Cal McNair's right-hand man and the most powerful guy in the Houston Texans organization. It really didn't do a whole lot for me. When I read these kind of articles, it goes back to one thing that we talked about originally was this is dangerous, right? Because stuff like this just continues to happen. I mean, think about what's happened in the last 24 hours. I don't know when Pat McAfee wore the I'm a Jack Easterby fan or I'm a Jack Easterby guy t-shirt and had the comments again about praying and about all this kind of stuff about the Texans figuring things out with Deshaun. I think it was yesterday, right? But you have that, and you got a guy writing an article like this with comparing what's going on in Houston to the Game of Thrones in a very negative light. I mean, it's all just mockery. Like, it's all things that would embarrass me if I were Cal McNair. Like, I don't know how you don't look at what's going on just as a whole. Again, not anything individual. Like, this article really didn't, but it's something every single day that's accurate, right, that has plenty of justification of why it's being written and what it's saying, or the report through a radio outlet. I mean, that's why this thing is dangerous. It's just a bad, bad look for the Houston Texans, and it's I would rather have, you know, a bad moment like you can say the Astros had with how they handled the scandal last year right before spring training started with Jim Crane and Altuve and Bregman speaking. It was all just mishandled the whole way. I mean, it was just a mess. But they got beyond it. They moved on, and it died. That was one of those. It died on the vine. And everybody moved on. Players still deal with some stuff, but for the most part, everybody moved on. This is just a fire that they can't put out. And this article, to me, is just one of those. Rather than what it said from a substance standpoint, it's just one more reason why, man, you got to do damage control. You got to do damage control, or it turns into a month and 2 months and 3 months worth of bad press.
No, and as we're talking about the latest coming out with another article on Jack Easterby,
another one.
It is I just to a point, Clint, where like I believe a lot of what we're hearing from Jack, what we're hearing about Jack Easterby. I was sold when Andre Johnson came out.
Yeah,
and spoke the truth. All of the multiple SI reports. I believed it. I hear you. I got it. I'm beyond it now. Like, Jack obviously is not keeping himself employed. Jack is not allowing himself to make all of the decisions as much as we hear about it. But still, Jack can be let go easy. I am more interested in hearing people hunt down why that's happening. Like, can we get more stories, less on Jack, and like you said, very similar to stuff we've already heard, and maybe more on the thought process of why Jack has been allowed to be in and who is making the decision. Like, it's like a kid. A kid keeps getting in trouble. At some point, I want to see what the hell's going on at home with the parents.
I thought this article did a really good job of laying that out.
Did you?
That was the part that I had to read three or four times to comprehend it. I mean, yeah, look, I thought the first four paragraphs were literally laying out how he got to a point, how he worked his way through different organizations, found the weakness in an organization, that weakness being Brian Gain gone, Bill O'Brien gone, you know, Jamie Roots, you know, being vulnerable to be able to drive a wedge between him and the McNair family. And once Jack Easterby found that organization with that weak spot, it was just a matter of when to attack, and Jack Easterby did that. And it was all about how he's in a position where, and he saw an opportunity where if he could just fool one guy, if he could just fool one guy into believing that his way is the answer, then he could essentially run a franchise. He saw the opening. He took advantage of the opening. He saw that one individual that he could manipulate into thinking that his way was the best way, that being Cal McNair, and he pounced. And that's the moral of the story with this article, in a much more eloquently written way than what I just laid out.
It just feels like there's just continued talk about him. I'm over the talk about him and more. And any time we hear these articles, there's sprinkles of why, but like to me, it should be, this is the article on Cal McNair. This is the article on not Jack so much, because I believe it. You don't have to keep hunting this down. We don't need the next Jack Easterby story.
Well, there's somebody out there, show, that needs it, or they wouldn't keep writing it. I mean, there's obviously a need there, and people want to read that.
Maybe we are alone.
I mean, look, I'm over it as well, but that don't mean when it pops, I ain't going to read it. I mean, it is a hot item. Pat McAfee ain't talking about that joker on February the 23rd or February the 22nd because nobody cares. I mean, that's just the reality of it is, man, what's going on in Houston right now, what's going on with the Houston Texans right now is something we've never seen before, and we're going to have to read articles about it and hear stories about it until we're sick and tired, which you're already there. We're sick and tired.
The same articles about him.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, people gonna keep they gonna keep riding that horse, man.
Well, I did love it. Well, Pat did bring something new to the table, and I want to play Pat McAfee because he spoke about Jack and Deshaun yesterday, and made reference to something that he was wearing.
I have a feeling, though, that this guy that I'm wearing right on my chest, old Jack Easterby, is going to have something to say to this. Him and Deshaun potentially going to pray their way back into the good graces of each other. Maybe they will get the Houston Texans into a good position, but it seems like the more and more we talk about it, the more and more the days go by, the more and more information that gets handed out that Deshaun Watson's okay going to the Jets, the Dolphins, or the Panthers, the more and more it feels like the Houston Texans might be forced to trade this guy or not have a quarterback for the entire season.
You hear him talk about his shirt, the guy that's on his shirt. Clint, he had I'm a Jack Easterby guy shirt. Like, he had made with Jack's face in it, and I'm a Jack Easterby guy shirt.
You'd like that?
I want that shirt.
You can get it on his website.
I just bought.
You want that shirt?
Oh, I want it.
You want a shirt that says I'm a Jack Easterby guy?
I'm about to buy it right now.
Don't go to Chewy's wearing it.
And I'm going to Chewy's wearing it. Anybody who else Easterby guy? I'm a Jack Easterby guy. I'm a Jack. Yes.
I mean, that's another.
I want to wear it. And do you think he would know that I'm making fun of him if I wore that shirt in his face?
I'd rather you not wear it. I mean, I'd rather you not wear it. I'd rather not have to explain why my potting over here is a Jack Easterby guy.
All right, you come back. Two Mondays.
I mean, that's the deal, right?
I'm going to have that on hopefully it gets here in time.
That's another. Here's the mockery of
yes.
the Houston Texans. It's just a joke.
Oh, I bet you 713-572-4610. Who wants a piece of the I'm a Jack Easterby guy shirt? Sleazy, you don't want that shirt.
I'm torn, man. When I first saw it, I was kind of like, oh, that would be funny.
Yes.
You'd have to wear it ironically, of course.
Yes.
But yeah, I could maybe get behind
and I
it.
Would wear mine like crisscross. Is that too old? Is that too
are,
old?
Are they the guys that did the – I think I know you're talking about. They did the dance.
Oh, man, that's kid and play, man.
Oh, okay.
Crisscross, they wore their clothes backwards.
Yeah, when you were – I don't think you were born yet.
Still pooping my pants.
Tyler,
no, that happened in the studio a while ago.
I'm very disappointed that Tyler does not know. Who?
Do they sing the jump song?
Cross. Yes.
Okay, yeah. There you go. I have that on my iTunes.
He just mistaked them for Kid and Play. That
Wait,
is.
You have that. You have that on your
jump,
on your
jump.
iTunes.
Yeah.
That was so.
Everybody, jump.
It's Criss Cross will make you.
People are rolling in. People want it. People want the Can I or I Am a Jack Easterby Guy T-shirt. I'm getting it in an XL. Mine is going to be a little bit tight. I'm getting that puppy. All right, this guy could be the next quarterback of the Houston Texans after Deshaun Watson, but there is one concern that may be major. We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
The guy who potentially could be the next quarterback for the Houston Texans if they do trade Deshaun Watson, which is a very strong possibility, is BYU quarterback Zach Wilson. They can make the trade, and it seems like the Jets or the Dolphins would be the logical place for the Texans because of what they can offer, especially being they had the second and third pick. Zach Wilson could be the guy. And I want you to tell me.
Zach will be available at 8.
He's not going to be available at 8.
We'll see.
Somebody will get him at 2.
We'll see.
But he's just no way.
We'll see. You're going to fall for it. One of these days, you're going to listen to your boy over here.
Well, I'm trying to come to you, and I'm trying to get your thoughts on my thoughts. Am I being too?
I'm trying to get your thoughts on my thoughts
with Zach Wilson.
Oh, gee, what has this come to?
You've played the game. You know this. I find it very concerning that Zach Wilson at BYU was not voted a team captain by his teammates. They got eight captains, eight guys, four on offense, four defense. And Zach Wilson, the quarterback, 3-year starter, since he was a freshman, the quarterback, was not voted by his peers and teammates as a captain at BYU.
Yeah,
I find
it's not good.
I find it almost hard to believe how that could occur. And it makes me wonder, it makes me like scratch my head, like, what's up with that?
Yeah. Yeah. That's odd. That's definitely something that I think seems like a lot of individuals would push to the wayside, but that should be a cause for concern. Like that would be at the top of my if I call, I don't know who the BYU coach is. Who's the BYU coach?
I don't know.
It's not Bronco Mendenhall anymore, is it?
I was going to say Bronco Nagurski.
Wasn't Bronco
dead.
Mendenhall? Didn't he used to be the
That's
BYU
a good
coach?
Call. He was. Bronco Nagurski.
Kalani Sitake.
That's
yeah,
right.
That's
who
right.
was the one right
Sitake.
Before him?
Yeah, was Bronco. And then. Wasn't it? Or
anyway,
was it Kyle Whittingham?
The point was like it's one of those where I would call the head coach for BYU, and if there's multiple during his career, I would ask that question. That would probably be the very first question that I asked. Outside, I would give him the opportunity. I would say, hey, okay, now tell me why Zach Wilson is a top five draft pick in the NFL. And then obviously they would not mention the fact that he was never a captain. I would say, okay, explain to me how there are eight captains voted for on a football team in college, and Zach Wilson was not a captain. That's definitely
just weird.
I mean, it can be answered it could be a very simple answer. I don't know what that may be, but it could be a very simple answer. But it is definitely a question. It's a box that I've got to check. You've got to explain to me thoroughly why he's not a captain. Like, absolutely. That's concerned.
Clint, he's a 3-year starter. He was the MVP of all three of the bowl games they've played in. Like, he was there. He was good.
Yeah.
I don't mean to diminish Brigham Young, but this isn't like, all right, maybe Alabama Mac Jones comes in and they've got established guys that have been leaders on this team at Alabama. But at BYU, the quarterback. Were you a captain?
Hell yeah.
Okay, my fault.
I mean, come on. What do you think? I mean, are you kidding me?
Wow.
Like okay. captains are captains are made and decided on in workouts. Like, if you ain't a dog in the weight room, then you're probably not going to be a captain. If you're not a dog in the field workouts, then you're probably not going to be a captain. If you're not a dude, what did I tell you? Like, when I evaluate quarterbacks, like, the very first thing I would do would go back, like, as they're coming up, if I were a pro scout, I would go to the cafeteria on the campus, wherever it is they eat lunch, where there's 100 people in the room, or eat dinner where there's 100 people in the room, and I would watch them. And if the players gravitate to that guy, if players, and I'm talking about a bunch of players, if they have other choices around the room, if they go there first to sit down and break bread, and then you got a real leader on your hands. I don't know how a quarterback that's that talented, because he's talented.
You're the second best quarterback, apparently, as we're hearing, you're going to get drafted behind Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I don't know how you go through offseason workouts and how you go through weight room for 12 months, for 36 months with the same guys, and you're not a captain. Like, I have no idea how. Like, that should just be a byproduct of what you do.
Yeah.
Of how you are and who you are. Yeah. No, that's concerning. No question.
From the text line, 713-572-4610. Didn't we hear this same thing about Josh Rosen? Well, that's not a good comparison. I mean, he seemed to struggle with having guys follow him.
Well, Josh was a super. If you remember correctly, like we could talk about Josh Rosen all we want, but who failed in the Josh Rosen situation was the Arizona Cardinals. They drafted a guy that the biggest question mark was on his ability to connect with his locker room and his ability to lead a football team. And in the NFL, when you get to the pinnacle of your profession, that is precisely how you separate yourself. Like, once Josh Rosen gets to the NFL, even the backups and the third stringers have similar abilities, right? And at that point in time, you've got to separate yourself with intangibles. And his biggest question, I mean, publicly, like he had even commented, Josh Rosen had even commented himself multiple times on almost defending himself about the lack of intangibles. Why Arizona would draft him in the first round is crazy. I mean, it's like Ryan Leaf. Like, I look back on Ryan Leaf and the Peyton Manning, Ryan Leaf situation back in the day.
Who were both captains.
I look back on those days. Like, I know Ryan, and I'm like, how do you even – if you took the time to sit down and get to know Ryan, you had to.
He couldn't hide it.
No, he was immature when I met him, when I knew him. I like him, good dude, but he was immature when I met. Physically unbelievably gifted, and we're talking about a guy we're talking top 10 draft picks. We're talking about number one overall.
Talking about number two overall, Zach Wilson.
Yeah, we're not talking about should he have played in the league, should he have been a first rounder, a second round. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about, is this a guy that you want throw around the best prospect in the last 20 years type of conversation around? And to me, I don't know how, if you're a scout, you don't sit in a room and talk to Ryan Leaf, say, four or five times over a 2 or 3 year span, and you don't leave with some concern, to where you at least go, Peyton Manning is the no brainer here.
Yeah.
Like, there's just certain things about guys. Like there's a reason why. We can cut it up six ways a Sunday. There's a reason why Zach Wilson was not a captain
for BYU. It has to be. So you think it's a fair thing for me to, when I look at that, because I know, one thing I know about NFL, and then it comes from talking to guys like you, other people who have played in the league, like that position, you want to have somebody that guys want to follow. Or guys have no problem following. It's one of the first things we saw when Deshaun Watson arrived here. He had that thing.
You better have. Here's the deal. You got three choices, right?
And you don't have to be a great player to have that.
No,
like
no.
Chad Pennington was a guy that comes right to mind. That was
Drew
a guy
Brees.
That,
yes. Drew Brees is very limited from a Tom Brady. Very limited from a tangible standpoint. Here's the deal. There's three things as a quarterback that you got to have, or you have to have one of the three, right? You have to have an unbelievably talented arm and skill set, right? Or you have to have an elite, and when I say elite, I'm talking about elite at the NFL level, like in the best of the best ever mind in the NFL, like Peyton Manning, right? So you got to be like skilled like Pat Mahomes, or you got to have the mind of Peyton Manning where you're essentially the offensive coordinator, or you got to have the it factor like Tom Brady. Like, you got to have one of those three or you have no chance, right? You can lack size and arm strength, but you better be able to get those 10 guys staring back at you to take bullets for you and fight for you every second of the way. And if you don't have that it factor, you better be able to put those guys in position to score 30 points a game. They better feel like, because you're on the field with them, they got a better chance of winning that ball game because you're going to put them in position to have success, make money, score points, right? Or you better be so physically gifted that you can be the biggest ass on the planet, but you can go out there and you can throw the ball the way Pat Mahomes throws the ball, and every receiver on the field with him is going to have unbelievable success, Aaron, and is going to get paid no matter what. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, there's a bunch of them. Aaron Rodgers, Dan Marino, John Elway. I mean, all those guys are just freakishly talented from a quarterback skill set standpoint. Now, a lot of those guys, a lot of those great Pat Mahomes, all the way up to your Dan Marinos and John Elway, they got a combination of the three.
Yeah,
they don't just have one.
But a lot of people have said Aaron has been an ass to other teammates.
Right.
But he's so physically talented.
So physically gifted. He's not quite Peyton Manning mentally. I don't know if he's ever been put in a position to be that, but he's got a lot of those, obviously traits. Has a lot of those traits. And I don't know if Aaron Rodgers has the it factor. I would if I were a bet man, I'd say he doesn't. I would say that when I say it factor, I mean like the it factor to where just guys just gravitate to him because you can't help it. Like there's
Deshaun.
Not like guys gravitate to Aaron Rodgers because he's a badass, right? Mm-hmm. But was that always the case, right? Is that how he survived in junior college? I don't know. Maybe
like,
he
will
didn't.
It, like when his skills diminish, like Tom's have, will people still gravitate to him?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That bingo. That's
so maybe
Drew
Zach
Brees.
Wilson
same way with
those,
Drew Brees.
Maybe Zach Wilson has Aaron Rodgers type ability.
Whew. If you're a 3-year starter and you got that kind of ability and you're still not
captain, captain at BYU? You won the MVP at every one of the bowl games. How does that occur? I want to get Chris in here. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay, hey, give me one sec. Can I step outside real quick? Sorry,
Chris. Are you kidding me right now, Chris? Are you kidding me? You better hurry up and get to it, Chris. Go.
Hey. Okay, real quick. Sorry, excuse me. I'm in the store. Sorry, I didn't want to be talking like that with the mask on. Real quick, Clint hit it all on the nose, man. Again, if the person does not have just something that's going to be able to get you the W or do something like that on the field where the intangibles are there, that just means that the support in the locker room isn't there. I hate to bring certain things up, and I won't say what it is, but look at the Super Bowl. Travis Kelce was the man for the Chiefs, and that is that's full. That's ridden with nothing but talent. Matthew's outspoken. He's there. Mahomes could have been that person. And it was Kelce. Y'all brought up Rosen. I agree with that. Again, the man did not have the support. He was a privileged kid. For some reason, that doesn't resonate as much these days. So I can't say whether or not it's fair for the kid to be, you know, judged that way. But that's just my point. That's my take. I love that Clint's on this one because for whatever reason, Clint, I don't know if it's just all the college, all the ball you played, you just have this swag about you, brother. There is just something there that any person of any color, of any demographic, of anything can relate to.
Are you
done? And if I'm sorry?
Are you done?
Oh, he's just hating. Don't worry about it. I appreciate you, big dog. I appreciate you, man.
Tyler, I love you too, man. You so H-Town. No, truly, again, a show. Even you on Sundays when you pop in on the Harrison Experience, man, y'all do all great. I love this show. I love everything you guys do. And, again, I just love Clint because as the quarterback, you have to be a leader. And, again, for 3 years for them not to recognize that, come on, there is something there, whether it wants to be spoken about or not, especially in today's world where it's hard to speak about these things, that I just have to believe when it comes down to everything, that has to be the point. That has to be the case.
Best call we've ever gotten. Maybe. Close.
Wow.
Great call. Great call.
Chris, that was tremendous.
I mean, he's...
Everybody take notes.
That's ridiculous. He circled back around to get to Clint again. He circled back around.
He's a closet hater. This guy's a closet hater. Oh, you know,
I'm,
your closet
I'm
hater.
Hater. Now,
the closet hater is the guy that just it just irks him when somebody else talks good about. You know.
Hold on.
Hey, if he'd have been if he'd have been talking about show, boy, he'd have had them damn shoes kicked up on the table. He'd been leaned back, unbuttoning another button on that shirt, boy. But somebody gives somebody else a little love, he just can't handle it.
That was a bit much. Come on, man. I appreciate you, Chris.
You do realize that my boy Chris, Tyler can't even use that audio now because you're making hater-ass noises in the background. You do realize that. Audio would have been great to use down the road, but we can't because you're talking in the
background. He circled back around to you.
Yeah, double down.
I mean, 3 or 4 different times.
I mean, was he wrong?
You are a leader here. I'll give that to you.
Well, I just ask a simple question, a yes or no question. I didn't need sugarcoat things.
Good Lord, man. God. That was strong.
You're our captain, Clint. You're our captain, man.
Hey, I don't need either one of y'all to pat me on the ass. I'm just telling you my boy Chris was putting it out there.
I mean,
Chris
is the man. 713.
And you got two kind of people. You got kind of people that like to hear others around them built up, and then you got haters that just smirking them in the day on the radio.
As we
get
from the text line, oh my God, was this a Clint love fest? Seriously, 713-572-4610. Of course I get accused of being a hater. Would you agree? Chris was a tad much on his love affair.
So now he's going to beat up my
Clinton,
guy. See, now he's going to beat up my guy so he doesn't ever call
Jacob
again.
Jacob Sterner. Chris, who I believe will be at the wedding Saturday.
You got a little bit of Jack Easterby in you.
You can kiss Don't you dare. Don't you dare. Put J.E. Heartbreak on me.
You get a little bit of that Easterby in you, but
that was a little strong.
You've driven Chris from ever calling again.
I think Chris will call again and come in. Wants to come in with a Gatorade bucket and pour it over you.
No, I'd like to. That's kind of old boy. I'd like to because he's a smart dude. He's a sharp guy. Clearly has great taste. And we should probably drink cold beer at Cold Coors Light at Twin Peaks one day. We won't invite show because, he doesn't like when men compliment other men.
The circling back around was a little strong.
No, hey, pull the audio up. He made noises the first time.
Pull it all up.
I will.
Pull the whole thing up. I want
to
hear
it. Do you want to go to D?
I want to hear
it. You want to go to D?
I don't want to go to D. What I would like to do is I would like to say hello to Houston and to all of the people who may have been going through tough times that have small businesses. Everything's been crazy through the pandemic, through the winter storm last week, through Chris's love affair of Clint. It has all been.
AD, man, go ahead, brother. This is Clint. How you doing, Bob?
What the hell?
I'm doing good, Clint. What I want to know is why my man hating on you today. He know you know your football. You been in the league. He know you can look at something and digest it. He know you can tell him forward, backward, sideways, the north, south, the east, and the west about the play. So why you hating on the man today? You looking good, too. You know we're going to give you your compliments every now and then. I see you come to Houston, and your wife got a whole new man now. You in Houston, but don't hate on my man here.
I'm not hating
my girl D. My girl D. I got front, back, and side to side.
I'm not hating. This is sad, by the way. To finish off what I was saying, send us your email. Tell us your story. Tell us your story. If you have a story, send us your email at smallbusiness@sportsradio610.com. Once again, that's sportsradio610.com. smallbusiness@sportsradio610.com. Tell us your story. We'll give you a shout out on the air. This is sad. This is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, you're right, man. It's sad what's happened to these small businesses out there, man. It's tough times, man. Tough times for tough people. Make sure when you email us, tell us your story. We want to get to know you. We want the details. We want to know what's been going on and how you doing and all that good stuff.
This is sad. I mean, Chris and D. God, man. Whatever.
Coming up,
Ian Rappaport. He tries to give Houston Texans fans good news. Houston Texans fans, good news. You don't want to miss that coming up next.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.